Today's program has been brought to you by Cain Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cain5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? This is Nothing Urgent with Derek Evers and Christopher Robbins, the show where we talk about, I guess, things that aren't very urgent. No, that's not true. We need to come up with a tagline. Took us a long time to come up with a title, so, you know, I figured the tagline could come in time.
Nothing Urgent is also the official title of our lead-in, clearly. It's Nothing Urgent. Yeah. That was a joke.
I don't understand the joke. Anyway, so how you been? You took a recent vacation, huh?
We both tried to stay away from the internet for a week, but then the world exploded.
Yeah.
Or rather, our country's national security apparatus exploded.
Yeah, apparently they've been reading my Facebooks and not liking any of my statuses.
If they're going to, you know, pry into our lives, they might as well just hit the, you know, double tap every now and then, right?
I agree. Although, that's with a phone. See, I have a really bad phone, so I don't really know the double tap thing.
So we were invaded by, you know, the NSA this week, and then the cicadas are starting to come in, which is really good because we're going to be talking about cicadas later in the program.
Yeah, we have a really good show lined up. We're very excited. This is our first official live broadcast, although we've done a pilot in the past already. But we're going to be talking to Jody Gangloff Kaufman, who is
he's an entomologist with,
yes,
Cornell University,
or I think you referred to as a pest expert.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see what she says. But her official title is urban entomologist with the New York State IPM program at Cornell. And we'll also be joined later, about 30 minutes later, about, no, 15 minutes after her, 30 minutes from
15
now.
15 minutes and 27 seconds.
Just in case you want to set your watches, we're going to be joined by Amanda Contrada, who's one of the curators of the Northside Festival, which kicks off tomorrow, actually.
Everyone says summer is so sleepy, but it's not. That's a lie.
It's the weather. It's not the activities. There's plenty to do. And then it gets hot, and you're just like, bleh, I want to go sleep in the park.
Yeah, that sounds nice, actually. Today was a good day for that.
It was beautiful today. So, yeah. There's a lot of Northside stuff happening. I know you're excited to see White Fence, I think.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and see them three times in 24 hours.
And Impose is hosting a show on Sunday. And we're very excited for that. That's going to be at Shea Stadium. We've got New Sensei, Destruction Unit, Big Ups, and Psychic Blood, and we'll be playing some tracks from them later. But in the meantime, have you been riding your city bike at all?
I am not a city bike member, unfortunately, and I feel like I should be ashamed of that. However, I do own a bicycle, and I see lots of people using city bike, but there's apparently a lot of problems with the kiosks. They're not, you know, connecting properly, and people are griping about it. But that's such a New York thing to complain about. You know, it's like
most of the things.
Oh, we got this cheap system, and it doesn't work. And you know, the 2 weeks it's been in existence.
Most of the things that they've been complaining about are New York complaints. You know, like, oh, this is de-beautifying my neighborhood. It's taking up parking spots. It's like, I will say though that it's funny you mentioned that, because the one time I did try to use some sort of bike share program when I was in Paris, I found it difficult to get it unlocked. But I think it was because I was trying to use an American credit card.
So, is there such a thing as an American credit card?
There is, when you go to different places, yes. And
I thought plastic sort of...
It does.
Plastic is universal.
It is, but the
plastic is a romance language.
At least in Paris, there was a different... They look different. And I know some places that tried to use the, like, swipe, like, the kind of the thing that you use for those block swipe things.
Yeah.
Anything that wasn't, like, because they still use the like, separate machine, you know? It's not really, not some of the older places.
Well,
so
the whole thing here was that Bloomberg, you know, they kicked it back a year because they said the software didn't work. And then they were really very secretive about why, you know, it's taken them this long to work the kinks out. And they still won't talk on the record, the DOT or City Bike, about why these problems are happening. But, you know, Bloomberg was like, oh, you know, we weren't going to put the system out unless we knew, you know, we were certain that it worked. Well, it doesn't really work now. So, you know, I mean, are you going to use the, have you?
I'm actually in the process of finding a new bike. I was going to, after we leave here, I'm going to go look at a bike on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah?
So, I would use the bike share, but it seems for someone who would... The bike share. I don't like to call it by its sponsored name. But, no, that's not true.
Well, no, I mean, it's a sort of like a, you know, an old fogey thing. It's like the bike share. It's just bike share.
Yeah.
You know? Just drop the baby. Just and, free yourself.
And but it seems like for someone that would use it regularly, it's kind of cost prohibitive.
Not true.
You don't
are you kidding me?
If $10 each time I want to ride it?
No, it's $100 for the year.
If I did the year.
Well, that's the whole thing is you want to do the year.
Right, but for $100 I can buy a bike. Well, almost buy
a
bike.
No, no way. $100 does not buy you a bike in New York City, my friend.
Well,
$100 doesn't even get, I mean, what
I could buy a Huffy, which is probably just as good as the city bike, you know?
Not true, man. You got to, look, I hate to educate you.
Are you saying I got
to
read up on this?
Public like this, but no, the bikes are sturdy and they're just very heavy. And, you know, they have nice big fenders on them and splash guards, and they're good to, like, commute. They're not meant to be leisure bikes. They're meant to be utilitarian machines of, you know.
Of convenience?
Of convenience, precisely.
I'm 100% for them. I don't want to come out. I just, it seems like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the
sounds
$9
like you're
100% for a half hour.
Uninformed, good sir.
So what's this, what's it, before we get Mrs. Gangloff Kaufman on the phone to discuss cicadas, and the 17-year invasion that we are currently under siege, I guess we would say.
Well, yeah,
we're being attacked, basically.
Well,
we're not being attacked.
They're just copulating around us.
17-year copulation,
which is fine.
You said you had a bomb to drop.
Well, I don't know. My parents killed my dog.
What?
Yeah,
that's very sad. This is not we don't lead into a discussion when you talk about was she old?
She was pretty old. She was like 10, and she'd been having, you know, issues. But she was a dog that like my parents bought for my sister because she's younger, and I'd always wanted a dog, and they were like, "You're not getting a dog." And then my little sister asked for a dog, and they're like, "Here's your dog." So, but I'm sort of still grieving right now, if you will.
Well, that makes me very sad. I remember the one and only time we had a dog. My parents currently have a dog. They haven't had to yet deal with what you're describing. But I remember growing up and putting to sleep the one family dog that I grew up with, and that was very sad.
It's super sad.
I can't believe this is what we're talking about as we're about a minute away from segueing into
a
conversation.
Okay, but the funny thing is, like, we've never, like, the only animals we had before the dog were, like, hermit crabs. And I can honestly say that hermit crab funerals are the funniest funerals because they're like, here's Hermie. He smelled really bad, and I never saw his face. You know, we just throw some dirt on him.
That's like a step below the goldfish in the bowl. Like,
oh, yeah,
I think that's more personable than actual a hermit crab funeral.
Well, yeah. So whatever. This show is for my dog.
I will say this one anecdote before we get Jody Gangloff Kaufman on the phone, and it kind of ties in. The one semi-funeral I had for
semi-funeral
I'll say for an animal that I didn't care about. It wasn't even an animal, but I remember when I was a little kid, my sister had dug up a bunch of those potato bugs,
yeah,
and in a very morbid fashion she decided to bury them in a little like candy container in the ground,
yeah.
And then we dug them up like a week later and they were completely just
disintegrated. It was like the cask of Amontillado, but potato bug of Amontillado, and all those Poe readers out there.
And I feel like Mrs. Gangloff Kaufman could tell us if they felt pain or not, because she's an expert.
Well, hopefully that's not the first question.
Yeah. So I think we have her on the phone. Jody, are you there?
I am.
Hi, thank you for taking the time.
Well, thanks for having me.
So
your expertise is in pests, correct?
Well, insects in general, and I focus on pests, especially in New York City. We always have questions.
Yes, many, many pests as well.
Yep.
So why are these cicadas so special? I mean, there are other cycles, right? This is just the 17-year cycle. Is this the longest cycle that cicadas have, or...?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of a phenomenon that happens on prime number years. So you might have 11-year cicadas, 13-year, and 17-year, although I think the 11-year cicadas are extinct.
Okay.
This is special because it doesn't happen once, but, you know, every 17 years.
Okay, so and it only happens on prime numbered years, because we were wondering, like, why wouldn't there be a 17-year cicada crop coming up every year, right? But it's only...
Right.
Why is that?
I'm not entirely sure. It could be development. It could be that the way cicadas evolved. They just randomly evolved these different broods, and they appear in different places. So you have, like, brood 10 happened a few years ago. I don't remember what year, but it was geographically different. It wasn't in the same location. But, you know, in that way, you have a brood emerging somewhere, usually right. every year.
And so what are they? How long are they out of the ground, and what are they doing once they're out?
Well, they come out of the ground when the ground is about 64 degrees, so that's going to be patchy. You know, it's warmer in the Hudson Valley than it is on Long Island or in coastal parts of Brooklyn. And then they emerge from their nymphal shell, so to speak. So the adults, they're called tenoral adults. They're soft, and they have to expand their wings and harden their bodies. And then they fly off and mate. So they spend about, I don't know how long mating, but mating and laying eggs takes probably about 6 weeks.
Okay.
Overall.
That seems like a long time, right? I mean, in an insect's life.
Yeah. I mean, they're long-lived insects. They live 17 years plus 6 weeks.
Right.
But, you know, they don't, you know, we don't see them that much. That's what makes them special.
And what are they doing during that time that they're developing, I guess, for that 17 mm-hmm. years?
In the ground,
yeah.
is what he's asking.
Right, so they drop from the twigs of the trees as hatchlings. They burrow into the ground, and there they stay. They form tunnels, and they feed on the roots of trees and shrubs. You know, they feed on the juices that flow. I don't know if anyone knows if they become dormant when it gets cold, because they're sort of buffered from cold weather.
Right.
But they spend literally 17 boring years underground feeding.
There's no animal, or they don't have like any predators when they're just sort of in this vulnerable state of just hanging out in the ground?
I don't think that we know of any predators. They probably have some amount of disease that happens, but it really doesn't seem to affect their numbers, because where they emerge in large numbers, they're overwhelming, you know?
Right.
So I also heard that there's different, in different places, obviously, like you've explained, they come in groups, and that in areas in the southeast where they've already had them, when they die off, they that also creates a problem.
Yeah, if there are large numbers of them, it creates a problem of smell, stink, because rotting insects smell pretty bad.
So is that something we have to look forward to here?
You know, I think if we were going to have a big emergence in the city area, that it would have happened. There are sporadic reports, and Staten Island has a lot more than any other part, any other borough. But, you know, Long Island, we're not seeing much, and the Hudson Valley, they're already singing. So I really think what we see is what we get.
And by singing, you mean that's sort of, you know, the fat lady cicada singing, meaning that they're going to die soon?
Well, they're mating at this point. So okay. when they're singing, the males are attracting the females are responding.
Ah.
And then the females spend a few weeks laying eggs.
Yeah, this is all very interesting to me, because as a child growing up, I remember, you know, hearing them and your grandfather or whoever was explaining to you who was making or what is making that noise. But
mm-hmm.
I never had any idea that, obviously, as a child, that they were 17 years in between.
They always sort of really scared me. And, I mean, they're different as a kid, that is. They're different from June bugs, right?
Mm-hmm,
and,
yeah.
And June bugs just happen to be out in June, too.
Right, well, you're thinking of June beetles, probably.
Yes,
and
yes.
June beetles are bright green. They're really quite beautiful, and then you have May beetles, which are around right now, which are brown, but they're both big beetles that come to lights at night, and yeah, they don't make noise. They communicate using pheromones or, you know, chemicals in the air, but cicadas are definitely a very different insect.
Right, and I guess as like a 10-year-old, I'm just picturing like a giant flying insect hitting my face, and I sort of just conflate the two.
Yeah, the June, I remember that with the June bugs. So, and what is it? Is it similar to a grasshopper with what exactly is, makes the noise? What part of their body?
And cicadas have on the side of their body something called a timbal, and it's like a membrane. It's a stiff membrane, and think of it like this. If you have a plastic water bottle, like a pull and spring, mm-hmm. and you push your finger on it and it clicks because it flexed backwards, if you do that repeatedly, you'll get the same sound that a cicada makes when it flexes this, you know, stiff membrane. It clicks mm-hmm. each time. So they do that very rapidly, and that's the sound they make.
Oh, that's interesting.
Cool. Poland Spring, the official drink of the 2013 17 year cicadas. So some people are sort of, you know, you'll go online and people are cooking them and eating them. Is this advisable, or what do you make of this phenomenon?
Well, I've never eaten one myself, but insects have great protein. They're a really great food source, and in other countries, people eat insects all the time. So there's nothing wrong with doing it. They're probably one of the cleanest things you could eat in terms of, like, they don't have gut bacteria. Well, they probably have a little bit of gut bacteria, but they don't feed a lot as adults. So there's nothing fecal about them, I guess you could say.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, it's pure protein and good fats.
Yeah, as this show is recorded at Roberta's, we feel inclined to have to ask a few food questions. Luckily, none of the people that are eating pizza, I don't think, can hear us discussing this right now.
What would be an ill-advised insect to eat? You mentioned cicadas are clean. What's like a filthy, what's like the Twinkie of insects?
The Twinkie, I would consider it the cesspool of insects. A flesh fly, like those big, giant, slow-moving flies that go to carcasses. That would probably be my least favorite.
Not to change the topic, but are those the giant, like, they look like house flies?
That's what I was just going to ask, because they always show up around this time of year, too.
Yep. And they're in the same group as house flies. They're all filth flies, and they are attracted to anything filthy.
Oh man, because those are the ones that always come in your house when you're like they're super slow moving and you're angry because you can't get them out. I didn't realize.
Well, those are more tempting because you don't have to go out and find them and harvest them like cicadas. But now we know not to eat those.
Don't eat them. One showed up on a plate of hash browns once when I was at a diner. So they do show up in food sometimes.
The one question you probably won't know though if you said you have no experience eating cicadas, but I was wondering if when you cook an insect, if it actually, like when you cook meats and things like that, the vitamin and the protein value actually is, like, you know, decreases. I was wondering if that's the sense.
Derek's going to go on an insect raw diet is what he's saying. Yeah.
But I was wondering if they lose their protein value as you cook them.
I have no idea.
So what do we, before we let you go, what do we have to look forward to now?
Do we have to go out to Staten Island or like if you want to?
I heard Jersey has a lot of them as well.
Yeah. I'm planning on going up to the Hudson Valley to see them, to witness them. As an entomologist, I'm sort of obligated to do that.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't think we're going to see much in the city boroughs or Long Island. There's only a small number in Connecticut, sort of in the center of the state. But I do remember this brood when I was a little kid in 1979, which was two cycles ago. I remember them. They were here. So whatever happened, to decrease their numbers it's done. They never come back.
Huh. That is really interesting. I find that because I feel like there's cicadas all the time.
There are. It's every year we get what's called the annual cicada or a dog day cicada.
Okay.
And those emerge a little bit later in the season. They're the green ones, and you can look forward to those.
And before we go, I feel
Derek's
like
got so many questions.
No, I feel like I have to get on that because being a quote unquote pest expert in the city of New York, and now have you been overwhelmed or overrun with the bed bugs?
Yes, I was the chair of the bed bug task force or the advisory council in New York City. And bed bugs are a big topic, although we seem to have gotten a pretty good handle on them in New York. And one of the reasons I say that is complaints seem to be down a little bit. There are still people living with bed bugs, but we're not the main place for bed bugs. I think Chicago's probably the top city right now, and it's changed. You'd be hard-pressed to find anyone in New York City who didn't know about them.
Yeah. They want that friendly Midwestern blood.
I have a very personal experience with bed bugs, but we don't need to go on that on the air.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you hear that, Chicago? We are no longer number one with bed bugs.
That's right.
Well, Jody, I am very appreciative for – thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thanks. And, it was great.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. And if there's anything, is there anything we like that you any written or anything that we should look forward to on your when you go to look at the cicadas this weekend?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
But pay attention to the site if you see a cicada. Magicicada.org. Like magicada.org, where you can report your sightings.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, that was interesting.
Well, yeah.
I was very surprised about the 17-year cycle. I mean, I knew that was the case, but I didn't realize they lived for that entire 17 years.
What did you think they were doing?
I thought the eggs were in like gestation for that time, and they're
starting emo bands and just like.
I just assumed that they were eggs that had yet to hatch.
Interesting. Well, I mean, in a way, that's the sort of. They're like larvae, So it's like in between like an egg and like a fully formed thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see. But they're still alive. I mean, it's not... I guess it's like we could have talked about, like, when do butterflies become butterflies? How long are they in a gestation period?
Derek's just got a lot of questions about the facts of life. Maybe we should change the name of the show to Facts of Life.
I think that's already been copywritten by a television show.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So
before my time.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to play music for about 15 minutes before Amanda Contrada comes in, who is one of the curators of the Northside Festival. She should be joining us shortly. She actually helped coordinate the Impo show at Shea Stadium Sunday. So I figured it would be kind of apropos.
Yeah, that would or appropriate if you're not trying to use one of them 25-cent words.
Hey, I got a receipt. I got a receipt.
Let's just play some music.
No, we're so I figure we'll play the bands that are going to play. And you know what? I'm going to take the first two, New Sensei Destruction Unit, from a nice little roundup that Chris did for Gothamist the Northside Festival.
Oh, thanks.
And he was nice enough to actually shout out the show we're doing.
Of course.
And so this first song is New Sensei, I'm a Body, and then we're going to go into Destruction Unit, Sonic Pearl. Stick around.
Enjoy.
Yeah!
See, Chris, that song was also very apropos. That is Fresh Meat by Big Ups.
Can't get enough of that Big Ups band.
Can't really get enough of that 25 cent word that I like thrown around. Apropos. He doesn't like appropriate.
You can't just, you know, there. Sometimes it's not apropos to use the word apropos.
I do have to say, though, I have to correct myself. We actually played before the Destruction Unit song, Sonic Pearl, which I said we were going to play right after New Sensei. We actually played Psychic Blood, Jagged Brain, which was in between there. So I just wanted to correct
myself.
Derek's
a liar. He just wants everyone to know it.
So once again, I'd like to thank Jody Gangliff-Kaufman, who we spoke to about the cicadas, the 17-year cicadas, not the yearly cicadas, not the annual cicadas.
Not to be confused with the boring, usual cicadas that Derek likes.
I do like those ones. So, but now we're joined by Amanda Contrada. Am I saying that correctly?
Yep.
All right. Who is one of the curators of the Northside Festival, which kicks off tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, it's tomorrow through Sunday.
Okay. That's good. No, what is
that? Thanks for joining us. We'll see you later.
What is the actual? Is there an actual kickoff show? Like, is there a show that is your official kickoff?
There's not. Yeah, I mean, it's a showcasing festival, so it's a lot of scattered shows throughout the 4 days that it's running. So most of them are put on by different sponsors or presenters in general. So the festival itself books some of the shows, like tomorrow. Like Ice Age at Music Hall of Williamsburg, the festival booked. But a lot of the other shows, like other shows that are happening tomorrow, there's one with Cassian Records and Newtown Radio that's happening at Cameo, which is with Chad Valley and
Big
Ice
Chad
Choir.
Valley fan. My girlfriend likes Chad Valley a lot.
He's great. He's really cool.
The women like Chad Valley.
He's a smooth operator.
He is. I do like him a lot. I asked him if...
His name's also Chad.
It's not.
Well, no.
Actually, Hugo. Well. And when I met him, because I had a show that I did a while back with his other band, Jonquil, which I feel like I never pronounced correctly. But I was calling him Chad all night. And then realized at like 12:30 in the morning, your name is actually not Chad. I'm really sorry. And he's like, that's okay. Like, I wish my name were Chad.
His name is Hugo Manuel.
Yeah.
And he is
not Chad.
One of the whitest people you meet, so it doesn't really work with his name. Anyway, I asked him if he would like. He reminds me a little bit of Rick Astley because he's not in stature, but like he's a ginger. And I asked him if he wanted people to Chad roll instead of Rick roll in like 10 years or 20 years, and he was down with that.
Did he avert eye contact with you?
He was no. He was like, I would love if that happened. So. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But yeah, there's a lot of great shows. So I know you guys have grown throughout the years. This is probably the biggest one yet, right?
Yeah, this is our fifth year. So it's the fifth year for music, I think the fourth year for film, and the second year for Next, which is our like techie geek portion. It's like South By has Interactive, we have Next.
Right.
So...
Question.
Yes.
Why not just keep it simple? Why not just keep it to music? Why like expand and branch out with film and tech stuff?
You know, Elle Magazine, which runs the festival, isn't strictly a music publication. It's like a culture publication. So I feel like branching out a little bit makes sense. And, you know, we would get so incredibly bored if we just had one thing to do instead of like a million to keep us occupied and kind of crazy. So
speaking of being crazy though, this week has to be nuts for you.
Yeah. It's a lot of emails, a lot of G-chat bombardment. I like that, getting accosted on G-chat, but I do it to other people all
like
the time.
Like from me asking to get on guest list for shows.
So you said you had LASIK surgery earlier this week?
Total nonsense.
That's what's important.
I want to know why. I want it because as a child, I was always taught that lasers and eyeballs do not mix. But apparently they do, and so they open these little slits in your eyes, right? And then you can't see for several days? Like, what happens?
So originally I was actually going to get it today, and then...
That was a terrible idea.
I know, I had that moment of like, maybe this is not smart to do something where I would potentially not be able to see the day after when I have to like... be in 20 places at once.
Yeah.
So I had it over the weekend instead, you know, much bigger buffer. But yeah, they say that they make a flap, and then I got stuck there for hours and hours and hours, so the tech was explaining it to me in minute detail. They do a molecular separation of part of your cornea, and then they go in under that and they zap your eye with lasers and like reshape your cornea essentially so that the light refraction is correct so that you can see things. But when I got it, after they made this separation, there were like air bubbles under the non-flap flap on one eye, so I had to sit there in the dark for like 3 hours until these air bubbles dissipated with nothing to do with like one eye being zapped and lasered and the other not. And then the part that I'm sure you were excited about hearing about is that I got to wear like an eye version of the dog collars that the vets put on the dogs so they don't bite stitches off, which are just these little like shields with they're like clear plastic shields that you have to tape over your eyes while you sleep for like 4 days. So I'm a little sleep deprived.
It would have been amazing if you would have gotten that done today and then had to go to your first show and you're with, you know, eye protector.
All right, this is the last LASIK related question I have. So, but
people tuning in right now wondering about this eye expert that
brought to you by LASIK. No,
this program is about cicadas and laser surgery.
Aren't you going to miss wearing glasses?
No.
Interesting. Because I wear glasses too, and I don't wear them all the time, but I do think it's sort of nice to like look distinguished, you know, with glasses on.
I'm
but
planning
now you're
on getting fake glasses.
Oh, really?
So that I can look smart and do the sexy librarian thing.
Okay.
For like one day a year.
But people like us, or people like you know, you used to be, we used to ridicule people with fake glasses, right? And now you're gonna join the other team.
I guess so. Well, I've had glasses since I was 5, or contacts. I never wear glasses because my eyes are bad enough that like it made me dizzy to switch back and forth.
Okay.
So I never looked particularly distinguished or intelligent to begin with. Or at least not since I was like 14.
You know, this talk is of no interest to someone like me with perfect eyesight.
Yeah, you sorry, dear.
We're really sorry that you were just genetically blessed like that. It must suck for you.
So, back to the topic of Northside Festival.
Back to Northside.
No. Is there a particular show that you are either A, particularly proud of, or B, that you are really excited to see as an organizer? Or curator, I should say?
There are a bunch. I'm really stoked for merchandise because I love them. They're playing at 285 on Saturday, which is the Sacred Bones / Chaos in Tejas showcase. And they're playing that with Destruction Unit and Milk Music. And then there's an after party-ish thing going on until super late at Public Assembly for Sacred Bones, which also has like Lust for Youth and Pharmacon, a bunch of bands playing. So that's going to be really fun. That'll be really exciting. And then, oh man, there's so many things. I'm actually really, really stoked for the Impo show on Sunday.
And we didn't pay her to say that, actually. We
did I did not get a bribe. I kind of assumed that I would get like a treat at the end of this, but we'll see.
Maybe.
For saying that. But no.
Maybe some free eye surgery.
Some more. No, that show will be really, really fun. I'm really excited that New Sensei is coming down for it. The timing worked out really well. It was like a nice little...
Yeah, well, it seems, I know, not to take the, you know, behind the fourth wall or behind the curtain, but I know North by Northeast is this weekend as well. Impos is booking some shows at Comic-Con. We've run into this same situation as it's the same weekend as Pitchfork Festival. So, like, you know, I don't think people realize that booking any show, let alone a festival, is, A, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of frustration.
It is. There are a lot of bands that, like, that can't play because they're in Canada this week or because they're in, you know, at Bonnaroo, or we do the 8 bands to watch thing every year, which is just kind of like the Elle magazine's pick of 8 upcoming or up and coming rather local bands.
Right.
And a bunch of those bands are out of town this week. We usually showcase them and have one show that's the 8 bands you should watch. That's not actually
there
a phrase.
Will be,
it's much snappier, but I'm just not
I think
saying
it's the 8 bands to watch. I think
8 bands to watch.
There will be one at the Impo show.
There will be one at the Impo show. Big Ups is one of our bands to watch. Okay. They're playing that. But yeah, we had some of the bands, like I think, who was it? Parquet Courts, I think, is in Europe. We're just like, really, guys? Like, come on. This is more important, obviously.
Yeah.
No one likes
No one
Europe.
Wants to go to Europe on a tour.
No one wants to do that.
Did
you're
going
to be driving all day?
This is totally none of any... But I saw No Age announce their new album and are going to tour for 4 months.
Oh, Oh God,
it's a lot of months.
I know. Well, they haven't toured in a long time.
Just in the United States?
No. It's I think two European, two U.S. tours.
Okay.
So that's still so a lot. Smelly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Much time with people. Though I guess if you've been a band as long as New Age, you're kind of used to being in a van.
And they're also
with each other.
I mean, I don't know what their touring outfit is, but as a two piece, that's a lot easier to tour. And you know,
yeah.
Although I said this when I went on tour with Talk Normal one time, and they're a two-piece, and they liked, I went on as the third person, I was the driver on the European tour, and they were like, it's very good to have a third person to be a buffer. But it kind of sucks because then it's almost like they pile up like two-on-one type of thing if someone's being kind of like a dick. But it's much worse when it's just two people, and then they can get head-to-head and just argue, and like there's no one to basically be the voice of reason in that situation.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I might, if I were the driver in that situation, feel like I'm stepping into someone's marriage if I try to get in the middle of a fight.
Well, I appreciate you. We appreciate you coming by.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having
me.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. This is going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun weekend. We've already explained. Chris is going to attempt to see White Fence 3 times in 24 hours.
Good luck with that.
I am a lot
of White Fence.
I do think my two main objectives besides the Impo show is going to be the one you mentioned, merchandise, and I definitely am going to see White Fence as well, just because he doesn't come around that often. So
yeah, that show will be cool.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. There's some fun, just like, you know, special.
How many,
like, Northside,
before we let you go, how many venues specifically do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. We have, there are a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of venues in New York, so I would, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's really all of the venues in Williamsburg are participating, and, you know, some in Bushwick, some in Greenpoint, so it's a lot of venues. We have over 350 bands that are playing this year. The number is like 387 or something.
That's impressive.
It's between 350 and 400 bands. It's a lot. So a lot of venues, a lot of shows...
See, we thought about this when we did our show on Sunday, because we figured then everyone can just kind of come to ours and like let all of their inhibitions go because they have nothing else to worry about. The festival's over and it's ready to have fun.
That's my plan. I'm trying to make it the official Northside catharsis show.
Yes.
For all of us that work there.
Well, that's good.
That's my plan. I'm like, let's take the bottle of Jameson that we get, go to Shea and go see New Sensei and Destruction Unit and Big Ups and Psychic Blood and just let it go
and not
let the
worry
week
about
wash away.
Work on Monday, because I think we all have to work on Monday.
Yeah, I think so.
We won't worry about that fun. While we're there, though.
We're not thinking about
did,
that.
Did
right
we ever
now.
Negotiate the dads get in free clause? This contract? No.
Are you
no.
planning on getting someone pregnant so you can come to the show for free?
Well,
that was
that's a like a really big
cut the feed.
I think he was referring to the fact it's Father's Day, but that was a very good. That was a very
Father's
good,
Day.
That was a very good retort, though. I like that. That was a quick wit. We need to have. We have to have Amanda back.
Use some of that on Heritage Radio.
We do. So the So-So Glows are playing the Jameson Lounge, which actually will be really fun. It's a free show with RSVP. On Thursday is their kickoff event from 8 to 11. And there's free booze and free barbecue and bands. And I'm told there's free Jameson ice cream. And if there's not free Jameson ice cream, I'm going to cry because I don't eat barbecue because I'm vegetarian.
Wait, say that again. What day is this?
This is Thursday.
Thursday.
At Villain.
So that's tomorrow.
Where is that at?
It's at Villain. It's private-ish, which means that you can get in if you RSVP. And there is an email at which you do so, which I don't know off the top of my head. However, I do know that the So-So Glows posted the flyer for the event on their Facebook page, and it has the RSVP information
Perfect.
On it.
That's
or,
good to know.
Because clearly more people should email Bombard me. If you want to email me, I'm not giving my email address on this radio station right now. So, but
I
you can do that, and that'll be fun.
But the
point of saying that was that someone in the So-So Glows put, it's actually... He's not always in the So-So Glows, but he's playing with them. Put his dad on for a wristband, which is really cute. I think both of his parents actually are on there, but it's pretty adorable.
And they got approved?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're not going
to
shut out the parents.
I thought that was the next step of the story. I was like, and we couldn't approve them because they're not in the band.
They were 21.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's actually it'll be cute. I'm looking forward to seeing
well, I think
Reich
if people,
with his parents.
Yeah, if people Google the show, they'll probably be
people
able to
with computers
well.
Will figure
yes.
it out.
Well, it's probably I would go to the So-So Glows Facebook page because I know that it's posted there, or the Northside Facebook page. It's probably posted on.
I like this, and now I have something to do
now.
Tomorrow.
You have Great. You have one thing to do. Congratulations.
I normally sit at home in my boxers watching TV.
Thinking about cicadas until, and how old they are.
Until it's time to leave to go LASIK to an impo surgery. Show. And I'm like, I got to hang up our 17-year-old banner on the wall, yeah. And then my job is done. Well, Amanda, thank you very much for coming by.
Yeah. Thank you again.
Yeah, Northside kicks off tomorrow. Everyone should go and try to get in at least one, if not a show every day.
So many shows. If you don't make it to one show a day, seriously, like, you're not trying
very
hard.
Oh, I meant one show or one show a day.
No, I thought you meant one show general. A day. Yeah,
I mean, they should try to at least make one, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Come see a show, guys.
And thank you, everyone. I think that's how we're going to close. I think that's it.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am. I got to say thank you to Jody Gangloff-Kaufman for talking about cicadas, Amanda Contrada, one of the curators at the Northside Festival. And this has been Nothing Urgent. We'll see you again next week.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.